You're listening to State of the News on WFPL. 21 years after Congress ordered the EPA and states to go after the 188 most toxic chemicals released into the air, regulators still struggle to control many of those pollutants. NPR and the Center for Public Integrity investigate how air pollution has affected lives in many communities across the country. An investigation has shown corn processing plants, paper mills, power plants, other industrial repeat offenders continuing to foul the air for months or years without resolution by regulators, and residents are paying the price. The investigation resulted in a four-part series that was broadcast on NPR and WFPL this week called Poison Places, Toxic Air, Neglected Communities. And among the NPR participants in the series is Howard Berkus, probably a familiar name among our listeners. He's NPR's rural affairs correspondent, and he joins us now. Howard, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Well, first of all, let's go back to the 21 years ago, and what was the intent of Congress in setting up this system to reduce air pollution?
What happened 21 years ago was that both, this is interesting in part because it was a bipartisan effort. It was a Republican president, George H.W. Bush, and a Democratic Congress who recognized that the Clean Air Act wasn't doing enough to attack toxins being emitted by these various kinds of industrial facilities around the country and municipal facilities. So they targeted those 188 toxic substances, established standards for them, and toughened the Clean Air Act at that time.
I see. Now, there's this secret watch list has emerged. What's that?
Jim Morris, a reporter at the Center for Public Integrity, discovered by accident the existence of this, found a reference to it in an EPA Inspector General report, the existence of an EPA watch list, which we then obtained with the Center for Public Integrity through a Freedom of Information Act request. And what it is it's an internal document. It's been secret until now. We've now published it, in which EPA keeps track of which of the facilities that it and the states that are enforcement partners with EPA are watching, which of the facilities have not had enough scrutiny, have not had a regulatory response to a problem in, say, 9 months or so. It usually triggers getting on the watch list if there hasn't been an agency response in 9 months. And so it's an attempt to keep track of facilities that require more enforcement action than they're getting.
So NPR and the Center for Public Integrity joined for this investigation. You looked around the country and you found communities, many communities, where these regulations either are not working or there's little or no enforcement.
The one pattern we found in the communities that we visited, and the Center for Public Integrity's series will continue for several weeks, and they'll have more places. But the one common thread that we found in the places that we visited is that there's a situation in some cases in which local people notice a problem. It can be a serious problem. In Tonawanda, New York, it was serious cases of cancers and other illnesses. It can be more of a nuisance problem. In Ponca City, Oklahoma, it was carbon black, a black powdery substance just irritating the lives of people. It's also a potential human carcinogen, so there is a possible health impact. In Chanute, Kansas, there are high amounts of mercury being emitted quite legally within the standards prescribed by Congress and EPA, from a cement kiln that burns hazardous waste. And what we found in each case was that local people had a difficult time getting regulators to respond. In Oklahoma, Ponca City, Oklahoma, with the Continental Carbon plant there and emissions of carbon black from that plant into the surrounding area, this is at least what local people claimed was where this black material came from around them. It took 18 years, more than 726 complaints. Finally, a lawsuit that was a series of lawsuits settled for close to $20 million. Year after year after year, complaint after complaint after complaint, these people couldn't get regulatory agencies to respond effectively. And in each of these other locations, in Tonawanda, New York, people ended up doing their own air quality tests with these sort of makeshift bucket testing devices they made with stuff they bought at Home Depot. They documented excessive amounts of benzene coming into their community from this plant. The plant, by the way, had lied about its emissions, and there's a criminal investigation underway. Indictments have been issued. So that's the common thread, that despite these laws, despite regulatory agencies, despite what they're supposed to do, in many cases we found that people have to push them really hard, and sometimes they push for a long time.
And you went to some of these communities, didn't you?
I went to Chanute, Kansas, where the Ash Grove cement kiln burns hazardous waste. It's one of 16 cement kilns in the country that use hazardous waste as a fuel. And I also went to Ponca City, Oklahoma, where the Continental Carbon plant produces carbon black, and where these complaints continued for 18 years.
Have you gotten any reaction this week from the government on the series?
I've heard nothing. I don't believe my colleagues have heard anything from the Environmental Protection Agency or the state agencies that we were dealing with. There was a mix of cooperation, I'd say, with the state agencies. The Oklahoma Department of Environmental Quality refused to do any recorded interviews. They did answer some questions, emailed questions in writing. The Environmental Protection Agency declined to speak at all about the situation in Oklahoma, saying that the plant there was under a federal enforcement action that they could not tell us about. So we had mixed response from the agencies. We haven't heard from them. The series continues on the Center for Public Integrity's website with more stories. Maybe we'll hear something once that series concludes.
How long have you been working on this?
I've been working on it about 3 months. The Center for Public Integrity reporters, I believe, have spent at least 6 months working on this series.
For those who don't know, what is the Center for Public Integrity?
The Center for Public Integrity is the nation's first nonprofit journalism organization dedicated to investigative reporting. It was started back in the late 1980s. So it's independent of any other news organization, and they generate investigative stories. They have a staff of some of the most impressive investigative reporters in the country who have left, you know, newspapers and television networks to work there. And it's headed by Bill Buesenberg, who used to be the vice president for news of NPR. And recently they hired Ellen Weiss, who was most recently the vice president for news of NPR. She's now their executive editor. So there's some natural links. And the NPR investigative unit, which was involved in this series, we have had collaborative reporting projects with other news organizations. And this one with the Center for Public Integrity was one where we worked with them over the course of 3 months.
Well, the series is called Poisoned Places, Toxic Air, Neglected Communities, produced by NPR and the Center for Public Integrity. You can link to it at WFPL.org or visit NPR.org. Howard Berkus is the rural affairs correspondent for NPR, and he joined us on his day off. We appreciate that, Howard.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for being interested in the series. Check out the website. There's more amazing video and other things on there that we've brought to the story, including a map where you can figure out who the polluters are in your area and what the health, the general health risk is for you there.
All right, Howard Berkus, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more in a moment. This is State of the News on WFPL.